Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people.
Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle.
Yeah.
Everything's a goddamn debate.
Yeah, it is.
All right, guys, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully everyone had an amazing weekend. Get a hold of me a couple of ways. You can easily do that. 407-270-3044. Or you can email me, Tuttle. It's Tuttle with two D's, T-U-D-D-L-E @gmail.com. Also, on that same number, you can text in. I like to engage with people on the chat room. I read a lot of your comments. But I also love it when you call in. I got a lot of great topics to talk about from over the weekend, stuff that happened. No interviews. In the near future. And you know what? I kind of like it. Because I've gotten a lot of feedback from people. And I do get some really, really great interviews. But I do agree. Like, you guys got to understand. I have not been hosting solo on a regular basis until recently. Ron Bartosz checking in. What up, Ron Bartosz? How was your weekend, my friend? Bubba lost everything. Hi, Tud. I think you meant to put the L in there, but I completely get it. Oh, see, he corrected himself there. But, no, you know, it was a great weekend. I really did not do anything. Now, I got good plans for this coming weekend. I'm heading out to Tampa. I'm heading out to Tampa. And if any of you guys are Bubba fans, you probably know why I'm going to Tampa. My good friend Colton, I was really, really jealous of Colton. Colton was at the Rays game yesterday. And I know a lot of people are not baseball fans, but man, oh man. Three outs away from a perfect game. And it just shows you how hard it is. Fozzie. What up, Foz? Tampa Tuttle. Boomer. Boomer 886. Colton, I think Colton is 28, could be 27, but I know, like, I remember, yeah, I'm not absolutely sure. Well, it wasn't just the no-no, but Fozzie, though, let's be honest, though, that right there, Fozzie says, that guy threw a meatball and gave up the no-no. Well, it was a perfect game. And if you notice, a lot of the perfect games are not like dominant pitching. It's not, you got to have a lot of luck, good defense. Hell, if I'm being honest, look, I pitched high school. I pitched a little bit of community college ball. It was 79. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that you brought that up, Bubba Lost Everything. 79 pitches going into the ninth inning. That is some Greg Maddux-type pitching performance. And, I mean, that is why the perfect game is so hard to do. That's why it's so hard to do, because you just cannot make any mistakes. Fozzy, if you will. I will say that David Wells' perfect game is probably one of the most perfect things that you'll ever see. The guy was hammering beers the night before. I don't even think he knew that he was supposed to be pitching when David Wells threw his perfect game. And he did it. He threw a perfect game, hungover, probably still drunk. Probably still drunk when David Wells did it. And he did it. I mean, that's some Babe Ruth type stuff. Also, David Wells wore 33 because he was such a big fan of Babe Ruth, who wore 3. I hope I didn't get that wrong. But that's why it's so hard. That's why it's so difficult to throw a perfect game. That's why there's only been 23 of them. Do you guys realize that the first perfect game was thrown in 1880? The first perfect game was thrown in 1880 in baseball. And there's only been 23 of them. That's why it is one of the hardest things to do in sports. We could have 24. Do you remember that poor bastard that was pitching for Detroit? And it was the last out, threw it the first base, and this was before instant replay. And the guy was out at first base. There was no doubt about it. They showed it on video, but they did not have instant replay. That's the guy that I feel bad for, the guy that got robbed of it, got absolutely robbed for it. Fozzie, I can't, I mean, you're killing me tonight with the comments. Like, they're on point. The Field of Dreams game was amazing. And that, since I've lost my dad, that movie sounds, it just means more to me now. Bubba lost everything. Those don't count, the dead ball era. You know, I mean, you're still going to get bloopers into the field. You still got to throw strikes. See, that's the thing about a perfect game. You do not walk anybody. You don't walk anybody. Nobody reaches first. Bubba lost everything. Jim Joyce fucked it. He did. Boomer 886, is your description sex for rent? Is that the reference to the Las Vegas story? Yes, it is. And I'm that's going to be the first story that I get into. Remember Tony Saunders snapped his stick. Yeah. Fozzie, we lost Ray Liotta this year as well. We played Shoeless Joe Jizz in the movie. Fozzie, you're on fire tonight. But Colton was actually at the game last night. And, you know, like when a pitcher is throwing a perfect game, you're not supposed to talk about it. You're not supposed to talk about it at all. And I even like didn't want to text me, oh, hey, the Rays, oh, the pitcher, he's throwing a perfect game, right? Because I thought I was going to jinx it. Bubba lost everything. Do Little League perfect games count? You know what? You are a degenerate. And I'm not talking about you, Bubba lost everything. Do you realize that there's a lot of people that bet on Little League Baseball? They are betting on Little League Baseball now. How much of a degenerate do you have to be to bet on Little League Baseball? But talking about Little League Baseball, have any of you guys seen the documentary about Danny Almonte? And the only reason I even know about Danny Almonte is because it was the same year that Apopka Little League here in Orlando was in the Little League World Series up in Williamsport. And Danny Almonte, he was a 60. Yeah, exactly. Bubba lost everything. This kid was 16 years old, throwing against 12, 11 years old kids. It was crazy. This kid, he did not look. Now, I will say that there's a lot of kids now that don't look like they should be playing Little League Baseball. But man, oh man, it was not even fair. The kid was a lefty. It was like a modern-day Randy Johnson throwing against 12-year-olds from about 40 feet. It was crazy. And that whole story is even crazier when you see the documentary. It's his stats were through the roof. 1 year, Tommy Largo writes, 1 year, Razor Ramon threw the opening pitch when I was in the Oviedo Little League. You want me to be honest? Razor Ramon used to come on the Monsters and Monsters of the Midday at that time. I need to look that up. Danny Almonte's stats were absolutely unreal the year that he pitched in the Little League World Series. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Let me see. So Danny Almonte, he did throw a perfect game in the Little League World Series. And I think he did it against Apopka Little League right off the bat. He did. This was 6 years ago. It was this day on 15 years ago that a Dominican-born lefty named Danny Almonte, then believed to be a 12-year-old pitching phenom, became baseball's biggest sensation when he threw a perfect game in the Little League World Series debut. Armed with a 75-mile-an-hour fastball and Randy Johnson-inspired nickname, the Little Unit, Jesus Christ, Fozzie, I would love to call a game. I would love it. I would love it. Almonte would be later revealed as a 14-year-old pitcher playing amongst kids 2 years younger. Struck out 16 batters in 6-inning perfect game. The first such effort in Little League World Series since 1979. In another start, Almonte fired a 16-strikeout shutout and would go on to finish the tournament, having struck out 62 batters out of 72. Jesus Christ. It's crazy. And to be honest, in the documentary, Danny Almonte is kind of like, he's like a child star actor. Fozzie says these kids need to be checked for juice. Bubba lost everything. Little Unit laughing my ass off. Iggy T says baseball talk is boring. Canada, Toronto, back-to-back World Series champions. Joe Carter with a walk-off in the World Series. As a Canadian, you should be like, hell yeah, love baseball. So, I do agree, baseball is boring. So, I'm going to get into my first story of the day. Going to get in there because if a Canadian's telling me baseball's boring, look, how many times do you Canadians get to brag about being world champions? How do you get to brag about being world champions? Well, because Joe Carter walked it off. He walked it off. I mean, it was every little boy's dream to walk it off like Joe Carter did. Seriously. This is a story, and when I play this, you guys are gonna think that this is like some produced skit or something, but it's not. Promise you, I did my due diligence on this because it was so ridiculous. I was like, this has got to be fake or it's an old story, but it's not. Happened 2 days ago.
Is Alan Rothstein, the man who wrote the sex contract, court records show.
So what ended up happening is this old dude ended up taking advantage of Section 8 people that are renting homes and wrote it into the contract. Hey, if you don't pay, you got to have sex with me.
He forced a prospective tenant to sign it in November 2018 in order to rent this four-bedroom home on Wedgebrook.
Pretty nice.
Street.
Four bedroom? Or we're talking Section 8 here. Four bedrooms for a Section 8 home? Yeah.
Near Las Vegas Boulevard and St. Rose Parkway. At the time, Rothstein was the property manager and also a real estate broker.
Look at this guy. Now, if anybody is going to write into a contract that you got to have sex with me, listen to some of the demands that this guy put into the contract.
He lost both licenses after a Nevada real estate division investigation. He now stands to lose a lot more if a federal judge finds him guilty. He's currently on trial for violations of the Fair Housing Act in this lawsuit filed by his former tenant. And the facts are unlike anything this experienced housing lawyer has ever seen.
My reaction was, you had to be putting me on, that nobody in their right mind would go to the
Oh, holy double chin. Look at this. Man, oh man. Hey, buddy, don't lean back in your chair and put your chin down when you're reading. That's almost a triple chin. You got one there and you got one there. This is Fozzie coming in with the stingers. I would need sex as the deposit first and last month.
Trouble to draw up a contract like this.
No one involved would talk to us as the trial is ongoing.
Wait, did he say contract? Almost sounded like he said contract.
Nobody in their right mind would go to the trouble to draw up a contract like.
He did. He said contract.
This.
No one involved would talk to us as the trial is ongoing. We asked legal expert Bruce Flammy to analyze the case. Have you ever seen anything like this?
No, not even on bar exams in law school. Nobody has ever put something like this together that I've ever seen. Although, in all candor, I think there's more of these out there.
Sources close to the case tell 13...
Because I've written them before and I just haven't gotten caught.
Investigates, this is not the first time Rothstein has done this, and there are other victims. Rothstein himself admitted to the real estate division that he wrote the sex contract and required...
Deny, deny, deny. You never admit. God, you amateur.
...the tenant to sign it, and in court records, he says any agreements or documents mentioned speak for themselves.
When somebody says the document speaks for itself, what they're really saying is...
They're really saying, I want to get some ass taking advantage of low-income housing. But I also don't understand, how the hell is a four-bedroom apartment or housing on Section 8? Come on. You're talking... When you're talking Section 8, you're talking two-bedroom, one-bath. If you're lucky, two-bedroom, two-bath.
I don't want to talk about it.
We're talking about it to the extent that we can. We'll begin with the title.
It's direct consent for sexual intercourse and or...
Oh, come on. Why are you beeping this stuff out? It's news. Grow a pair.
Which is in italics. Who names a document that?
It goes on to say, please read this legal contract carefully.
And that's where I started laughing because...
Well, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Whenever somebody writes, oh, read this contract, read it carefully, you're like, oh, if they're telling me to read it carefully, oh, it can't be that bad. They're telling me to read it carefully. What could they be sneaking? What? I got to do ass to mouth? I got to do DP?
This is a legal contract the way the actors on Grey's Anatomy are real doctors.
This guy is a dickbag. You know, this guy probably buys advertisement with this television station, and they're like, oh, let's get this guy on.
Okay. This is literally not worth the paper it's printed on.
The terms of the so-called contract are even crazier than the title. The tenant had to swear she wasn't signing under the influence of any intoxicant, including alcohol, drugs,
oysters. So what? Did the landlord, hey, you want to go out and get some oysters? And then he, like, snuck in the sex contract because he thought that just because she had a bunch of oysters that she was going to be so horny that she was like, okay, cool, I'll sign it.
Truffles, sea cucumber, strawberries, lobster.
What is sea cucumbers? What does sea cucumbers have to do with anything?
I've never known anybody to be under the influence of lobster, dark chocolate, cocaine, LSD, and cannabis.
I mean, come on. I've been around a lot of chicks that have been on cocaine, not LSD. Cocaine is a little bit of an aphrodisiac.
I don't know where you get a list like that.
Another paragraph says the tenant swears she does not currently have a boyfriend, girlfriend, or parent who is larger, meaner, and more physically aggressive, owns firearms, and or is more possessive.
All right. So when I heard that part, I was like, this has got to be a Saturday Night Live skit. And that's why I had to do my own due diligence on this whole thing. Because it's just ridiculous. But I promise you people, I found numerous news sources that have covered this story. And this is real. This is absolutely 100% real. This story, because it's so ridiculous, it's hard to believe.
And Rothstein.
She was told if she didn't sign this, she was not going to be able to get the unit. So for all intents and purposes, it's exactly sex for a place to live. It's exactly what it is. And it's almost sex on demand.
What do we make of the fact that she initialed this thing?
Sex on demand?
Nothing. People sign things all the time, and the popular myth is, well, you signed it, so it's binding. Yeah. There are a variety of things you can sign that are not binding. Any contract that is against the law or public policy is not binding.
So why would anyone sign anything like this? Court documents say in August 28...
Because people are desperate. We are living in desperate times in this country right now. People are willing to do whatever it takes. We are basically living in the storyline of The Walking Dead minus the zombies. It's basically... How far are you willing to go to survive? How far are you willing to go to protect your own? How far are you willing to go to protect your loved ones? Because that's basically what it is. With all the shootings, all the people driving their cars in the crowds. I got a story about that coming up real soon. All the threats of civil war. Just because all the politicians are getting us so whipped up into a frenzy right now. And I'm talking about both sides. I'm talking about the Republicans, the Democrats, just politicians in general. They are dividing us so much to the point that we're willing to bring it back to the days of 1850, 1860. And we're talking about civil war, people. I know I sound like Allen Iverson. When I say, oh, we're just talking about practice. What are we talking about here? Practice. What are we talking about here? Civil war? Talking about civil war here? It's just civil war, people. Yeah, I mean, Fozzie. I mean, even pseudo B-list celebrities that once dated Ellen DeGeneres. She's doing some cocaine and got a bottle of vodka on her, running into a home like she's a suicide mini Cooper terrorist, lighting up some random person's house like a Kiss concert, like Bubba would say. It's crazy times, people.
18, the tenant and her five children were homeless, living from week to week in a residential hotel. The Southern Nevada Regional Housing Authority threw them a lifeline, approving them for Section 8, a federal program that funds local public housing authorities to help low-income families rent from private landlords.
But one of the provisions of Section 8 is that once you're approved, you have to find a residence that will be covered by the program. within about 60 days of when you're approved. Now, depending on where she was in that 60...
Dude, stop dropping your chin, man. Like, the chins grow when you do that. When you drop your foundation chin, it's like you got two more of them.
60-day window when this thing came up, she may not have had other options.
Court records say she'd been allowed to move in and paid out of pocket to fix up the house so HUD would approve it.
So when you slap this document down in front of her and say, sign this or you have no place to live, that's coercion, that's duress, and I believe it's a violation of federal law.
The tenant's lawsuit alleged...
I mean, this creepy dude. You know, this dude right here with the glasses, bald head. He probably gets off on this. Like, he's probably got a main chick. He's got a side chick. And then he's probably just getting off on, hey, I Section 8. I got a fetish about having sex with Section 8 single moms that have a bunch of kids. Yeah, that's my thing. That's my ticket.
Alleges several other violations, including charging illegal fees and wrongful eviction after she refused any sexual encounters.
Mm.
In court records, Rothstein disputes any fair housing violations. Attorney Flammy says no matter the outcome of the civil trial, accountability shouldn't stop there.
There may or may not have been crimes committed here. The word extortion flashes in my mind in this kind of situation. But that
I'm sorry, Charlie Triple Chin here. Well, let's be honest. I mean, would you be surprised if this guy didn't try to extort sex out of a Section 8 family? Come on, man. Look at this dude. I mean, in general, real estate people are kind of slimy. Not saying all of them. But, I mean, you kind of, real estate people kind of have that stigma.
That's not what this trial is about that's going on in federal court right now. But this is a good example of a case where maybe somebody ought to go to jail.
I don't know, man. Crazy times we're living in. Speaking of crazy times, this is why I ended up getting my concealed carry renewed. I know a lot of people are against guns. I mean, the last thing I ever want to do is have to defend myself and kill somebody. Boomer 886, DeSantis is such a Trump mark, even how he uses his hands. Yeah, but let's be honest, though. DeSantis is running for president, and you know, like, he will turn on Trump the first chance he gets. This is a really sad story, and I'm not trying to bum you guys out on this show. But this is just the times we're living in. I like hitting some of these stories. You know, I've gotten a lot of feedback. People just like me commenting on stuff, talking about my personal life and everything. You know, I haven't had an interview in quite some time. Not trying to throw Vulture under the bus or anything like that, but kind of like it. I've gotten a lot of emails. I've gotten texts from people talking about, oh, less interviews. And this is just what's in the news, but this story is absolutely depressing. This youth football team having a scrimmage game. It's practice. We're talking about practice here, and somebody gets killed. And this is just absolutely horrible.
At a preseason peewee football game in Lancaster, an argument quickly turned into a fight.
Not even a game that counts.
Seconds later, it ended with a deadly shooting.
We saw.
Man, oh man. And you know what? A lot of people, okay. It's a lot of minorities playing football. No, I'm not surprised people got shot. No. Trust me. A lot of white people are killing other white people. We just had that story here in Edgewater where that guy walked into, I mean, literally it was less than a mile from where I live at. It was a love triangle. This guy went into an AA, killed his girlfriend, or no, killed the guy that is hooking up with his ex-girlfriend, and then took his ex-girlfriend hostage and killed her. Luckily, everybody else got out, but all white, very white, most of the mass shooters, white.
One of our coaches laying down on the ground right there. It's tough.
Mike.
Oh, this dude.
Michael
hold
Freeman
on.
Runs the DEA Dragons.
DEA Dragons.
One of the teams playing when the shooting happened, the coach killed was their offensive coordinator and former UNT star, 43-year-old Mike Hickman.
More than just a coach. Great father, great man.
This dude is rocking a Bass Pro Shops hat. This is badass. I love it.
Great role model, great mentor.
Freeman says the fight began when Hickman went to grab a ball and someone kicked it away. Police identified the shooter as Yaqub Talib and are still trying to find
him. If that last name sounds familiar, you're going to find out soon.
I heard gunshots.
That was the first thing you heard?
Yeah, gunshots, people running.
Tavar Watson owns the North Dallas United Bobcats, the other team playing. He says Talib and his brother, former NFL star Aqib Talib, are both coaches for the team.
Former NFL player. This is ridiculous. Boomer 886, the Talib brother story. Yeah, it sucks. Really does. Keith Vina, let's hope he doesn't let another Republican in there. Hold on. Let's hope he doesn't let another Republican in there. Is this world going to shit in a handbasket with the Democratic Party? Yeah, it is. That's why I don't like any of them. I do not like them. Do not like them. Boomer 886, love triangle versus football disagreements are very different. Yeah. Tommy Largo writes, DEA drunk every afternoon. Fozzie, I got to tell you, I love insensitive jokes. He couldn't defend the shotgun formation. Tommy Largo, I saw this story but didn't watch the video. Glad to see it elaborated on here. Bubba lost everything. We are all fucked. And then, Fozzie, this is an automatic ejection in my opinion. Yeah, it is. I would say so.
I think it's all senseless, man. Like yesterday was probably the worst day of my life, man. And
Watson has been friends with Hickman through football for roughly a decade.
We lost a good guy, a real what we call stand-up guy. Is one of the guys that's there for us.
Oh, they're all about the you. He's wearing the turnover chain.
Family.
I'm lost at words. I don't know how to explain that to the kids. That's the part that I'm stuck on right now. How do I explain it to them? Why?
The 9-year-old kids playing were just yards away from the shooting, including Hickman's own son.
I held his son, little Mike Jr.
God damn it. Wow. This kid saw his dad get gunned down over a scrimmage Pop Warner youth game. Ugh.
And I held him like my son. And it was very, very, very hard to hold him and console him because, again, I mean, just letting him know that we'll be there for him.
At a game that didn't count and in a league with the goal of mentoring kids, a coach, a husband, and a father lost his life.
Oh, this is something that these kids will remember for the rest of their life. They'll never forget this moment. The only thing that I want right now is just...
I'm sorry, and is it make me insensitive, but the only thing I could think is I want one of these DEA shirts. Right there. Man, what I would give for a DEA Dragon shirt. Purple and yellow. Man, I bet the apparel and the merchandising for the DEA Dragons are through the roof right now. Bubba lost everything. They said that somebody like picked up the ball or swiped it around when somebody was trying to pick it up, and that's what started it. I don't know. Bubba lost everything. Said they said there was some kind of fight in the story I saw, and then Tlaib ran away.
Rest of their life, they'll never forget this moment. The only thing that I want right now is just justice. That's all.
In Lancaster, I'm William Joy.
Thanks, William Joy. And I talked about this, people driving their cars. I know, I'm sorry if things are a little bit depressing when I'm talking about these stories and stuff tonight. But up in Pennsylvania, there was this horrible fire that ended up happening up there where a family, 10 people died in a family in a house fire. And they were doing like this vigil. They were trying to raise money to help out the survivors and stuff. Fozzie, come on. Fozzie, that coach intercepted the bullet and took it back to the house. So this family, 10 people die in this house fire. There were some survivors. They were having this vigil. They were having this fundraiser. And when I tell you, when you see the suspect that they arrested, because he ended up killing his mom. Why do all these psychos kill their mom? Is it some type of like Norman Bates type shit? But he ran his car into a crowd, injuring like 17 critics. I don't know if anybody died. I don't know if this story is updated to the recent times, but this story is crazy.
This morning, the tight-knit community of Berwick, Pennsylvania, already in mourning, left reeling by a series of tragedies in two counties.
On 2nd Street, Berwick, I have a car into a crowd of people.
According to Pennsylvania State Police, a man plowed his car into a group of people at a fundraiser. A 50-year-old woman was killed, 17 others injured.
He killed an old lady and 17 were injured. I live in Florida. Florida is one of the worst places in the whole United States for pedestrians or people that are broke down on the side of the road. You just cannot trust the people on the roads in Florida. You just cannot do it. I remember one of the scariest things that I ever went through. I got a flat tire on the Howard Franklin. Fozzie, what is the main bridge, the long one? Been a while since. Is it the Howard Franklin? The big long one? The one with the hump? The one that they're building a bunch of stuff on the side of it right now? Because I broke down on that one. Yeah, that is the Howard Franklin. Front tire, driver's side. Not much of a shoulder there. So I had it right up against the wall, changing the tire. You know, here in the state of Florida, I don't know if it's like that all over the place, but you're supposed to get over. You're supposed to give a lane when you can. And this was right after one of the shows. This is when I was living at Clem Racing Incorporated. So I was going over to Clearwater, flat tire, longest flat tire change that I had ever had in my life because nobody wanted to get over. So I'm jacking up the tire, see a car coming, have to get out in front of, you know, behind the car. Even though if somebody hit it, I'd still be pancaked. I would. I would still be pancaked. And nobody gets over. It's a bunch of tourists around here. Nobody's paying attention. I'm so lucky I did not get pancaked. Then you just, you gotta, you, nowadays people, wherever you're at, we have become so just like, we just do not look at our surroundings. We do not look at exits. We don't look at if something happens, what are we going to do? We just feel like we live in nothing but safety here in the United States. And that's not the case anymore. Just not. And if you're doing a vigil by the side of the road, bet your ass, if I'm out there, I'm going to be looking at every single car that comes by.
Authorities still investigating whether or not the crash was intentional.
It was.
Another woman found dead just a mile away after police say she was assaulted by the same suspect. 24-year-old
Look at this
Adrian
guy.
Reyes was arraigned.
Wow. You know how they say we should not look at people and say, yep, that guy's a molester. That guy is a psychopath. That guy is going to kill his mother. This guy looks like a 62 Oompa Loompa. Jesus Christ. This guy, if you guys ever saw the movie Minority Report, you know, you just can't arrest people before they commit a crime, but man, oh man, this guy should have been arrested way before he ever killed his mom and ran his car into that crowd of people.
Overnight, he's being held without bail this morning.
Man. Think this guy's ever gotten laid in his life? What is he? He's got to be like a little over 5 foot. He doesn't even come up to the shoulders of this small, he's a little bit over the shoulders of the small law enforcement guy. But man, what the fuck?
Being held without bail this morning.
This is a complete tragedy in a community where there's already been tragedy.
The carnage unfolded Saturday evening outside the intoxicology department restaurant and bar, where social media videos show a benefit was being held to help the family members of a deadly house fire that claimed 10 lives in a neighboring town.
All right. Why is nobody looking into that? How's 10 people die in a house fire? Obviously, there were no smoke alarms. Obviously, there was no fire extinguishers. Is nobody not looking into foul play on this one? For 10 people to take a lick in a house fire? Jesus.
I had friends from the fire. They said that some of them were here tonight with the family.
That tragedy unfolding just 9 days before the car crash. Pennsylvania State Police officials say the suspect in the case was later detained after receiving calls that a man was physically assaulting a woman in the next town over. Authorities say when they arrived, the woman was dead.
The male, who was the suspect
and killed his mom,
in both incidents, is in custody as we speak.
The victims of the crash taken to various local hospitals, the extent of their injuries not known.
And if there's anything we could do to help those families beyond our...
I mean, Fozzie, you kind of... Look, I know you make a lot of jokes, but, I mean, that's something that I think they got to look into. Fozzie says that that's a meth lab. How in this day and age does 10 people die in a house fire? I know it happens in large building fires and stuff, but not in a house, man. I mean, that was only two stories. Even if you were trapped on the second story, you take the bump. You take the bump, you dive, you take a header off the second floor. At least you're not getting burned up. You're not getting all burned up in a fire. How's 10 people die in a fire?
Investigation, we absolutely will do.
It's just terrible. I mean, it's just this world anymore.
This morning, communities left heartbroken and awaiting answers.
And Hallie, at least four people rushed to the hospital were said to be in critical condition.
All right, You know what? I want to talk about the fentanyl rodeo. Now I'm going to get out of here. This is a little bit of an older story, but I've had it in the queue for quite some time. Haven't had a chance to get to it. But they had a bunch of fentanyl overdoses after a rodeo.
Five drug overdoses taking place Friday at the Tryon International Equestrian Center. A fentanyl-laced lollipop involved in...
Man.
At least one of those cases, says Chief Deputy Jeff Ramsey with the Polk County Sheriff's Office.
And this is not Polk County, Florida. This is another Polk County.
Ramsey confirming all five overdose victims were aware they were purchasing drugs, adding the general public is in no current danger of coming across drug-laced candy. The overdoses happening during the PBR Tryon shoot.
Now, let's be honest. Cowboys that are competing in rodeos, they might be on painkillers. Maybe fentanyl. Come on. Wouldn't you want fentanyl if a bull smashed your balls after you fell off the bull? Hell yeah, bet your ass. If my balls got smashed, both of them, by a big Brahma bull, and they just got crushed. Nothing's left of them. Yeah, give me the fentanyl lollipop. I'm down. Let's play it.
Shootout bull riding competition. We reached out to the Professional Bull Riders Organization, a spokesperson telling us the reported overdoses at the Tryon International Equestrian Center on Friday, June 24th, were not affiliated with the PBR event.
Well, I mean, PBR might be doing some damage control. I'm not saying that for sure, but allegedly, come on. You had that many overdoses at a PBR event?
Held on the property and did not include any PBR staff or athletes. Turning down an interview request, a Tryon International Equestrian Center representative says they're fully cooperating with the sheriff's office in their investigation. Right now, I'm told investigators have several suspects and charges are pending. All five overdoses.
Oh, look at this chick. You know, she's a big, probably, you know, you got a lot of those lot lizards. You got the pit lizards in NASCAR. Looks like old Hannah McKenzie. Probably going over there and checking out Tough Heaterman or something like that. Come on, man. You get your ball smashed by a Brahma bull? Yes. Let's mainline that fentanyl, buddy.
Those victims are believed to have been treated and released from hospital. But this incident comes on the heels of three fatal overdoses here in Polk County just last month.
Nah, that didn't happen in Polk County. Well, I'm not saying that there's not drugs in. Bozzy says Hannah is a sidewinder. Bozzy,
the sheriff's
one of your best nights.
Fentanyl was involved in those as well. In Tryon, Hannah McKenzie, News 13.
All right, guys. I promise to find some more fun news stories for tomorrow's show. Some more personal stuff. I'm going to get out of here, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed tonight's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe. And I will talk to you tomorrow.